to our viewers who are watching us live on live stream all over the world. You're welcome to Blessed Hope Seventh-day Adventist Church here in UK, Dartford. It's a pleasure for you to join us this beautiful Sabbath and morning for our worship. As you join us, as you listen to this wonderful sermon, my prayer today is that the Lord will meet you at the point of your need. This sermon will turn your life around. Keep the faith. Keep on believing in the Lord. Happy Sabbath and God bless.
Good morning, church. We want to thank God for the privilege of once again making it through another week. Let me start by asking you to look at the person sitting next to you. Please take a good look. I'm sure some of you have not noticed the person sitting next to you since you came. Please take a good look and say congratulations for making it through another week. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Ruben, you're welcome. It is good to have you in the house of God. This morning, our scripture reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. Exodus, chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. When you're there, I want you to say amen. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. Just one person?
Amen.
Okay, it's a long passage, but I've chosen to go through the whole of the 10 verses so that we can give have a good background for the message today. Brother Kenny, can I please ask that you reduce the echo on the mic? Thank you very much. Exodus chapter 3 verse 1 to 10. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your shoe, off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Title for the message for this Sabbath is When Hope is Delayed. When Hope is Delayed. Please bow your head with me as we seek the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, we just want to give you thanks because right now we cast down all our crowns. We cast down our glory and we sit at your feet so that you may bless us. Father, Lord, today I pray that there shall be a special blessing upon every hearer of the word. Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, for a special anointing for this hour. I pray, Lord, that you anoint my lips, my tongue. Help me, Lord, that I may become an oracle for the Lord Jesus. I pray for anointing for the ears of the hearers. And Father, I bind every demonic force, every unholy presence. I cast them away from this place and give the liberty to the angels of God to minister and bring deliverance, to bring the hoping of eyes, and to set the captives free. This is my prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You know, church, there is nothing as frustrating in life or in the life of a traveler than when you pack your bags on time, you get in the car on time, you leave your house on time, you arrive at the airport on time, you get to the appropriate terminal on time, you pack your bags on time to maneuver through the various security points on time, and you make it to the designated gate on time, only then to hear the announcement over the airport's public address system that says, "We are sorry, but your flight has been delayed." You know, it is a frustrating experience for us, because, you know, somewhere in our psyche, we believe that when we do everything that we are supposed to do, everything is going to happen as they're supposed to happen. Is that not true? You know, in our minds, we believe that once we have put in our best, we expect the best from life. But life has so taught us, you know, that even after you've done your best, things might not turn out right. You know, this delay does not occur based on anything you may or may not have done. And as a matter of fact, the reason why this situation is so frustrating is because, in general, the situation is really out of your hand. You know, it's almost like an hopeless situation. You get there, you are, no matter how much you are in a hurry, you can do nothing about it. Now, I remember some years back, I think that it was also there, you know, we were at Heathrow. There was a flight going to Nigeria. There was actually a lady on board that was getting married the following day. But then they got to the airport and the flight was cancelled. This lady came to London to beautify herself, you know, and everything. And then the wedding was the next day. But the flight was cancelled. You know, my friends, it does not matter who you are. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are. It doesn't matter what you have accomplished before, or how important you think you are, or the thing you're going for is. You can be a medical doctor or a cleaner at an outer or out-of-town office. It doesn't really matter. When that announcement is made, you find that in the eyes of the airlines, you are simply passengers. That announcement is a leveler. It tells you that no matter who you think you are, you have to wait like everybody else. And you know, oftentimes in life, there are some things that level us. It doesn't matter how rich someone is, when they are sick, they are sick. No, there are times in life when situations put money to shame. If you like, you can steam all you like. You can steal, you can shout, you can even frown. But one thing is certain, you will just have to wait. And I have a word in my spirit today to give to someone who, like me, this week you have looked to God in hope, wondering when it is that your wait will be over. I've got a word in my spirit today for someone who has waited patiently or wondered if things are still working out in their lives. I have a word today for someone who is going through a season of delay and wondering if all is normal. I want you to know today that there are times when hope is delayed. When hope is delayed. And this morning, I want to share three things with us about that we need to be sure of when our hope is delayed. Three things The first one I want you to know is that there is a God who still cares. Second thing I want you to know when hope is delayed is that God knows where you are. And the third thing I want you to know when your hope is delayed is that God still delivers. So now, first of all, let's go back to the first point. I want you to be sure anytime your hope is delayed that there is a God who still cares. You know, things may look as if there is no hope. It might look as if there is no way out, no respite for your situation. Perhaps you feel there is no solution or relief or rest or remedy for what you are going through. You know, and oftentimes when things or these conditions come upon us, it looks as if no one cares. Maybe you've tried your friends and families. Maybe you've even tried the church. Or maybe your colleagues at work have been unable to help you. Or government provisions have been insufficient to meet the thing that you are going through. It looks as if no one cares about your situation. I've got news for you today. Jesus still cares. Amen. You know, the Israelites, they have been in bondage for almost 430 years. And surely there's no one here who is that old. I'm sure you will agree with me that 430 years is a mighty long time. That is about the space of 5 lifetimes. These children of God, they have been in bondage in Egypt for that length of time. Then suddenly, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 12, or Exodus chapter 3, where we are reading this morning, that God showed up and he appeared unto Moses. And you know, God identified himself to Moses, and in essence, it was God was saying to him that, I know that there are lots of God out there, but let me tell you who I am. God appeared to Moses, and don't you forget that at that time, Moses did not know enough about God to know who he truly was. Remember, this chap grew up in the palace of Pharaoh. He did not have the privilege of growing up among the Israelites and therefore knowing enough about Jehovah God. So God appeared unto him and God began to say to him, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. In essence, God was saying to him that, look, I know you've seen other gods and you know how Egypt is. There are loads and loads of other gods. God says to him, I know you've encountered all the gods, but let me tell you that I have authority to deal with the situation I'm about to address. And I want you to know that in the situation you might be going through, there are lots of authority, but there is only one authority. So let me tell you today, if God has not spoken concerning your situation, you have not had the final word. God did not reveal himself to Moses just to show off. But God revealed himself to Moses so that he may have hope. And so that Moses may know that no matter how bad things were for the Israelites, hope was not lost. Please tell your neighbor for me, hope is not lost. You know, in verse 6, God says to him, I am the God of your father. God chose to identify himself with someone that will matter in the life of Moses. So God says, I am your father's God. The God of Abraham. The God of Isaac. The God of Jacob. And the Bible says, when God began to identify himself, Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Let me tell you, my friend, when God shows up in your situation, not only would the things around you be afraid, you yourself will be afraid. The Bible says that he showed up and Moses was full of fear because of the awesomeness of the hour. And God began to tell him about himself. Friends, I want you to know today that if we truly know who God is, everything that baffles us will pale in significance to who he is. I want you to know that many times the reason why we are afraid is simply because we do not know how powerful God is. You know, the things that we cry about, the things that we lament about, if we truly know who the Lord is, they will never make us afraid. God identified himself to Moses. Saints of God, when your hope is delayed, make sure you are dealing with the right authority. You know, if you are railing with God, then don't run over to your friends for help. If you are railing with God, you need to know that your friends cannot help you. Don't look up to those who claim they can solve it for you, because the truth is, they also need a higher authority. So you better deal with the proper authority. God identified himself as the God of their fathers, and they knew that Abraham trusted the Lord. You see, the Israelites knew that Isaac trusted the Lord. They knew that Jacob trusted the Lord. However, God did not want them to relate to him as the God of their fathers alone. God wanted them to know him for themselves. I want you to know that there is nothing like a personal testimony. Now, you can sit in church and people can tell you how wonderful God has been in their lives. Until he shows you something wonderful, you will never truly appreciate how wonderful it can be. So God was seeking to give the Israelites a personal experience about how awesome he is. God is so magnificent and complete in his knowledge about everything. You know, God actually told them that there was going to be a delay even before it happened. God made a promise to his children, but Pharaoh, that, you know, that the Bible says that soon there arose a Pharaoh that knew not God, and he came up to delay the hope of Israel. I want you to know that as a child of God, as you sit here today, there are some promises that God has made concerning you. And those promises God is able to fulfill. But oftentimes, there is a Pharaoh that knew not God that is rising up to cause a delay for your hope. Friends, when your hope is delayed, I want you to know that there is a God who still cares. Yes, God showed the Israelites that he still cared about their situation. You know the story so well. How Moses went before Pharaoh requesting him to let the people of God go, and Pharaoh refused. You know the story very well, church. How at the base of the river, with the rod that God has blessed, the Nile was turned to blood, the fish died, the rivers tank, the Egyptians did not have bottled water to run to. So they began to thirst, and yet Pharaoh refused to let the Israelites go. You know the story very well, church, how the river brought forth frogs in abundance, and they went into the house, and the Bible says that the frogs went into the bed chambers. The frogs, there were frogs on the bed, frogs in the oven, frogs in the baking tray, and yet Pharaoh delayed the hope of Israel. You know the story well, how the dust of the land became lice throughout all of Egypt, and even Pharaoh's magicians stood in awe, and they proclaimed, "This must be the finger of God." And yet, Pharaoh delayed the hope of Israel. You know the story well of how swarms of flies, disease, boils upon their bodies, pestilence, thunder and hail, locusts, darkness, and yet, Pharaoh delayed the hope of Israel. Is someone with me this morning? You know the story well, church, that the God of heaven had made a promise to his people, but yet Pharaoh delayed their hope. And I'm saying that there are times in life when God is willing, but the Pharaoh would delay your hope. You know the story how God sent a final blow to the throne room of Pharaoh that was so devastating that it knocked him to his knees and shook him to his senses. And I'm talking about the death of every firstborn in the land of Egypt. God dealt a final blow to not just Pharaoh, but to the whole of the Egyptians, and all their firstborns died. Now I want you to know today that as you begin to cry unto God, today I declare that God is going to send a final blow on your enemies. I don't know what it is that is worrying you, but I want you to know that God has a final blow. It doesn't matter how big the person or the situation is. It doesn't matter how tough that person is. There is always a last straw. Tell your neighbor for me, there is a last straw. Now I want you to know that when the time is right, God will deal the final blow to that situation that is troubling you. And the Bible says that when Pharaoh received that final blow, he quickly called Moses and he was willing to let the Israelites go. Friends, through all of these plagues, the Bible says that Israel was well protected. No, you didn't hear me. Through everything that happened, Israel was protected. In fact, the Bible says that in Goshen, it was as if things were getting better. God showed them that he still cared about them. Please allow me just a few seconds just to begin to let you know that when God is ready to move on your situation, you just need to begin to praise him, because perhaps you have prayed longer and hard and prayer is not doing it. Maybe it is time to praise. And I know that as you begin to praise the Lord in your situation, though the battle has not been won, God is able to do that which you are looking for. Oh, let me move to my next point. When your hope is delayed, be sure that God knows where you are. I want you to know today, if you are in the house, that God is not ignorant of your location. No, listen to me, church. When Adam sinned and God came down, the Bible says God called out, Adam, where art thou? Now, let me ask you, did God know where he was or not? Why was God asking where he was? You see, because God wanted Adam to acknowledge what had happened. I want you to know today that no matter what you are going through or wherever you are in the situation of your life, God knows your location. In fact, the psalmist, David says, even if I were to make my bed beneath the ground, still you will be there. So where can I go from your presence? I want you to know that when the situation of our lives are buffeting us, it doesn't matter. God knows how he can reach us. God knew the location of the children of Israel. He knew they were in Egypt. God knew their condition. Now let's go back in our scripture passage and read the words in verse 7 and verse 8 and in verse 9. I want you to go away from this place today knowing that God, you know, is not ignorant of your location. If you look in verse 7, verse 8 and verse 9, God says to the Israelite that I am aware of your situation. I know what you are going through. I am in contact with your frustration. Look at it in verse 7. God says, I have surely seen. In the latter part of verse 7, it says, I have heard their cry. In verse 8, God says, I am come down. In verse 9, it says, I have also seen. Now, permit me to quickly break down these three verses for you. Let's backtrack to verse 7 again. The Bible says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. God is saying today that he has seen the things you are battling with, the things that are worrying you, those things that you are struggling with. God says, I can see those things. I know where you are, and I am ready to deliver you. God says, I have heard their cry because of their taskmaster. God says, I know that there are those that are oppressing you. I know there are limiting situations in what you are going through. I know that there are those that have said that you cannot make it to this point. God is saying that I know your education might limit you. I know your color might limit you. I know your accent might limit you. I know where you live might limit you. But God is saying that I am ready to do something about it. Oh, God says, for I know their sorrows. God is saying that tear you shed last night when no church member was there. Oh, the pain in your heart when no one saw it last week. God says, I know your sorrow. So in verse 8, I actually like it. God saying, soul. Every time I read the word of God and I see soul, God is saying that all of these things have happened, but now something is about to be different. Because the soul, I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land. Friends, let me tell you that every time God comes down, you are going up. Amen. No, only you heard me. Every time God comes down, you are going up.
Amen.
Please tap your neighbor if you are sitting. Just say you are going up. I want you to know that every time the Lord comes down, you are going up. God says, I have come down to bring them up. Now I want you to know that when God is leading you somewhere, he says, I'm taking them to a land that is large and a land that is good. So let me ask you today, is there someone in the house who likes good things? Do you like good things? You have a high for good things. God says, I'm coming down so that I can bring you up to good things. God says, I'm coming down. Is there someone who likes extra large? Do you like extra large? Babisi, do you like extra large? God says, I'm coming down to bring you to a land that is large. Some of you don't get it. You know, as Christians, many times we are happy with just enough. But God says, I am not the God of just enough. I'm not the God of barely okay. I'm not the God of just making it. I'm not the God of just creeping around. I'm not the God of, you know, just about it. God says, I'm taking you to a good land, a land that is large. It says, a land that is flowing with milk and honey. You know, many times when we read the Word of God, we don't begin to meditate on what the Word is saying to us. You know, this week as I read these words, this phrase again, a land that is flowing with milk and honey. Do you realize that milk is essential for babies? You agree with me? God says that I'm taking you to a land where you will have essentials in large amounts. Do you know that honey is a luxury product? God says, when I'm giving you the milk, where I'm taking you, you will not just have the essentials, but I'm taking you to a place where after you've had the essentials, I will give you the luxuries. A land flowing with milk and honey. And then, you know, I began to meditate upon the phrase, and then it struck me that God is not saying that I'm taking you to a land where there is milk and honey. Do you realize that there is a difference?
Yes.
It is not a land where there is milk and honey, but a land that is flowing with milk and honey. When something is flowing, can you stop the flow? When something is flowing, it means that you have used it and it is flowing to others. You see, God is saying that what I'm about to do for Israel is such that when their essentials have been met, when their luxuries have been fulfilled, these things will flow to others around them. A land that is flowing with milk and honey. To the place of the Canaanites, the Ephites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Evites, and the Jebusites. How many tribes are those? Canaanites, Ephites, Amorites, Perizzites, Evites, and the Jebusites. You know, it struck me this week that God was displacing six other tribes just to bring the Israelites into their occupation. No, you don't get it. God is sending or destroying six other tribes so that he can bring his children into a land that is large and good. And I want you to know today that when you look at those tribes, they are even tribes. God is saying that even though right now it appears as if it is the evening, enjoying the land flowing with milk and honey, God says there is time. It is now time for it there to be a shift so that the evenings are driven away and my children will come into the good and the large land.
Amen.
I want you to know that it is time for us to begin to take our place. Please tell your neighbor for me, it is now your time. So the Bible says that the whole creation is waiting with eager expectation for the manifestation of the children of God. By the way, that is the theme for our coming week of spiritual emphasis. And as I speak to us, I want you to know that everyone will get away from that program knowing that this is your time. It is not tomorrow. We are not of the tomorrow's generation. This is our time. It is our time to flourish. It is our time to get into the good and the large land. So if you are easily satisfied, my brother, I'm not in your camp. Listen to me. If you are easily satisfied, if you think this is all that God can do, I'm sorry, I'm not on the same wavelength with you. No, this week I was sharing with my wife. Some of us would have read the story in Metro. There was this chap, city trader. And Metro says he was retiring. This guy is 41 years of age. He was retiring at 41. And the Metro says that this guy is worth a fortune of 450 million pounds at 41. I see the faces of those of us who are older than 41 here. The chap is younger than us. You know, and as I opened Metro and as I began to read, the chap says, I'm retiring so that I can spend more time with my family and move to my homeland in Australia. When I look at those two things, are those not two things that every man in this place would desire to do? To spend more time with the family and to move back to their homeland. I doubt if there's any man here who will not want those two things. But I want you to know that if it is happening to those who are not saved, why is it not happening for those of us who are saved? Saints of God, I want you to know today that it is now our time. Please beat your chest as if you mean it and say, it is now my time. I want you to know God says, I'm taking them into a large and good land. Now, therefore, behold, the crying of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Friends, when your hope is delayed, I want you to know that God knows where you are. He has not forgotten you. He knows how to get to you. He cannot be stopped from getting to you when he is ready to get to you. Oh, did you hear me, church? No one can stop God from getting to you when he's ready to get to you. Oh, and today I know I'm running out of time, but let me make my last point today. When your hope is delayed, I want you to be sure that God still delivers. So look at verse 10. The Bible says, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Is there someone in Egypt today and you desire to go out? Is there such a person in the house today? You are in Egypt and you desire to go to a land, a large and good land. God says he's sending the Moses your way. God says, I can still deliver you. I will send Moses and you will bring out my people from Egypt into the land that I prepared for them. Now, let me share a verse with you that I discovered in Exodus. You know, this really fascinated me. Exodus chapter 12, verse 41. Exodus 12, 41. I'm just going to give you some time to get there. Exodus 12, 41. And I really like this. You know, as I prepared for this message and I saw what the Lord, you know, was saying in this passage. I want you to know that God can still deliver. Exodus 12, 41. The Bible says, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Now, I know you are asking, you know, Pastor, what is fascinating, but look at the verse again. It says, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years. I want you to know that no matter how long you have spent in your situation, there is a end. No, you didn't catch that. No matter what you are going through, there is a end. This passage says it came to the end. And I want you to know that everything that has delayed in your life is coming to an end. Amen. The Bible says it came to the end at the end of the 430 years. When that time was past, look at what it said again. It says, on that very same day, I want you to know that there is a day appointed for your breakthrough. It says, it came to an end, and on that very same day, not only is God making an end of everything that has delayed in your life, but the Bible says that he's also pushing forth every new frontier that is opening up to you. God says it came to an end, and on the very same day, it came to pass. When the Bible says it came to pass, it means that everything was fulfilled. Everything that the Lord has promised you, the Bible says they are being fulfilled. And it says that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. I want you to know that for as many Israelites as desired to leave Egypt, on that day, they all left. Amen. No, you are sleepy this morning. That day, for as many Israelites as decided to leave, the Bible says all of them left. Amen. There was no more Pharaoh to hold them back. There was nothing to stop them from going to the place that God has desired for them. As a matter of fact, when you read Exodus, the Bible says that, do you realize that not only Israelites left? Yes. Did you realize? Yeah. The Bible called them that, the Bible says that they were a mixed multitude. Yeah. There were some Egyptians who saw what the Lord had been doing, and they decided and they left with the Israelites. Not just the Israelites left. You know, when God is about to bless you, I want you to know that other people will be blessed in the process. Because the move of God will be so awesome in your life that they will look at you and just say, it has to be God. Friend, God still delivers. No wonder David says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots. You know, chariots is an equipment of war. David says some trust in chariots, things that are not living but that are equipment. He says there were some trust in horses, things that are living. Some people they are trusting living things in men, in people that will fail them. But he says we trust in the name of the Lord our God. No wonder he says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous running and they are saved. Friends, I want you to know that God is reliable. God is reliable. Please tell your friends for me, God is reliable. Oh, do you realize that? Liable means responsible. Well, when you say liable, it means responsible. When you say re, it means over and over and over. So when you say reliable, it means that God is responsible over and over and over. You know, no wonder the Bible says that, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Because when you taste, you will discover that it's not just sweet for today, it's sweet for tomorrow. God, you can trust him over and over and over again. In conclusion, church, I want you to know that God knows that while we sojourn on this earth, we're going to be laden with sorrows. And he is acquainted with our sorrows. God knows that while we sojourn on this old earth, we'll be oppressed by our adversary, the devil. And he is acquainted with the evil one. And because he knew all this, just like his throne of old, he has sent me today as a messenger to let you know, to give you the good news that he's coming down to deliver you. Oh, because when hope is delayed, God still remembers. When hope is delayed, God still delivers. Oh, yes, when God is coming down to deliver you, nothing can stop him. Oh, please tell your neighbor for me, God is coming down to deliver you. Oh, when God came down, there was no public demonstration of military might. When God came down, there was no blaring signal of trumpets, no worldwide press conferences, no beating drums, no marching soldiers' feet. When God came down, heaven hung out his brightest star, and angelic messengers told trembling shepherds, behold, I bring you glad tidings of great news, which shall be to all people. Oh, he came down whilst the Jewish race slept. Oh, God came down, folded in the robes of Old Testament prophecy. He came down when Evans lay in a stupor, drunk with the wine of skepticism. Oh, God came down to deliver us so that we might go up to a good land, a large land, a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And if in your life, you know, your hope is delayed, he will send you some form of assurance. Because you are headed to a land. Oh, you are headed to a good land. Saints of God, you are headed to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. Your hope might be delayed, but it will not be denied. I wish someone will catch the vision today and realize that God is coming down because you are heading up. Oh, God is coming down so that you can go up. I want you to know that I can say with assurance, I don't know about you, that I am headed for a land, a good land, a large land where the wicked shall cease from troubling, a land where the weary shall be at rest. I'm headed for a land, a good land and a large land where the brilliance of the sun will beam brightly against the horizon. I'm headed for a land, a good land and a large land where the bailiffs do not call. I'm headed for a land where taxes are never due. I'm headed for a land where hospitals have no real estate. I'm headed for a land where horses do not roll by. I'm headed for a land where the undertakers are jobless. I'm headed for a land, and my hope might be delayed, but it shall not be denied. Oh, anything God's got for me, no demon can keep it from me. Oh, so I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait on the Lord, because he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I'm able to imagine or think, according to the power that now worketh in me. I'm going to wait on the Lord, for it is God that works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. I'm going to wait on the Lord, for it is not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, I'm going to wait on the Lord, for all things work together for good, for them that are called according to his purpose. Oh, I'm going to wait on the Lord, for Micah assures me that I will wait for the God of my salvation. He will hear me. I'm going to wait for my God, because Job assures me that all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change shall come. Oh, I'm going to wait on the Lord, for Isaiah assures me that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall roar and not faint. I'm going to wait on the Lord, for David comforts me when he says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, 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 I say, wait on the Lord.